It is Wednesday, December the 4th, 2013. I am Steve Groeck, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Groeck.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news, results, profiles, Hall of Fames, and sometimes the diva of the day. And recently we had this person on the line with me today, a special guest at Groeck.net as the diva of the day. You may see her again in the future as a diva of the day. She is currently the Resistance Pro Women's Champion out of Chicago. And today it's a very special guest. I'd like to welcome to Groeck.net, Darcy Dixon. How are you doing today, Darcy?
I'm doing great.
Well, we appreciate your time. I know you're very busy with wrestling. I guess the first question is, how's everything going with wrestling, and how's your relationship with Resistance Pro?
Well, everything's going great. I just recently defended my title in Chicago against Mickey Knuckles, and I retained, which is always a good thing to say, especially after getting in the ring with her. And I'm healthy, which is another good thing to say. My relationship with them is great. The really supportive company to work for, and I'm always like, we don't have a show in December, and I'm kind of sad. I'm like, don't see you till January. So everything, you know, is going perfect up there. I can't really ask for more from them.
Talk a little bit about how you became interested in wrestling. Were you a big wrestling fan growing up, and how did you ultimately decide one day I want to go to a wrestling school and try my luck at professional wrestling?
Well, I think everybody has a unique story, but I feel like mine is a little different. I always was a wrestling fan, but I would say more so casual. Like, I like to watch it, like, definitely during the Attitude Era. And I was more like, hey, I could do that, you know, how most people are. And I would sometimes go and be like, I'm going to see, like, how you get trained. And I would go on the internet and I'd, like, Google how you get trained. And I guess most people out there know that's not how you go about figuring out how to get trained. And I just kind of gave up because I didn't know anyone or have any contact. So it was just one of those things where every now and then I think I would like to do it. But then I actually met a person locally who wrestled on local shows, and I went to watch him wrestle. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize there were people like who would have shows close to us like that. I didn't know that this even happened because I'd never been to a local independent show. And at that point, I kind of decided I wanted to, you know, try to get a contact and figure out how to train. And around that time is when Resistance Pro got started. And I started following them on Twitter because it was a very interesting concept that Billy Corgan was going to be involved in a wrestling promotion. So I just started, like, seeing what they were all about. And they sent out a tweet one day that was like, basically, if you're interested in getting involved in a wrestling show and you have no experience and you would like to manage or valet or be a ring girl, send in your information. So I was like, hey, I'm going to send in my information. Maybe they'll let me do something. So I got in contact with one of the promoters, which is Jacques Baron, and I sent him my pictures, and I told him I really wanted to be involved with it. And so he had me start sending him promos. And, of course, at first they were probably horrible. They still might be horrible, but at first I'm sure they were, like, really embarrassing. And I'm pretty sure he probably still has them, and I'm going to be embarrassed by them one day. But I just started sending him promos, and Billy, after a few weeks, him and Billy decided that they were going to give me a character on the show. So they made me a manager of the Briscoe Brothers. So kind of like Resistance was actually my very first show I ever worked on. After Raven is an agent for Resistance. And so he kind of got with me and was like, if you're going to be on the show, if you're going to do this, you need to get trained. And so I was like, great. I want to get trained. You know, do you know someone who can train me? Because that was the problem I was having, was just getting in contact with someone who would actually, like, would be my trainer. So he helped me get in contact with some people that he knew, and I started training probably a few months into working for Resistance. And after I had been training a couple of months, they actually let me have my first match up there, which I started working with Cultural Ground Pure first. I think I started working shows after I'd been training, like, 6 or 7 weeks. Might have been 2 months, but I don't even think it was 2 months. I started working shows locally, like in North and South Carolina. But then after after 4 months of training, Resistance actually let me have my first match up there. And from that point on, it was just, you know, making my way to the title. And it was just me, like, really making an effort to learn the craft.
Yeah, you were trained, or one of your trainers was a former WCW star that I think people may remember, Lodi.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that interesting, because I always liked Lodi, you know, on mm-hmm. WCW. I never thought he was a guy that had some talent, and, you know, at that time with WCW, they were obviously pushing the bigger names, but I thought he had a good gimmick and a good look. And so what was it like, what is it like training with Lodi, and how is Lodi doing today?
Well, it was a good experience. I think it worked out well for me because he just so happened he was trained Ric Flair's daughter, Ashley, who is Charlotte now for at NXT. She
right.
started training at the same time I did, or else I probably would not have even had the opportunity. That's kind of one of the reasons he had started training, was to help out Ric and Ashley. And so it was a really good experience because it was a lot of consistent, which most, you know, they're based in Charlotte. I am not. So I had like a 2.5 hour drive to training and back every day. But still, I was so excited to do it that it was a very consistent, like, everyday way for me to train. And that's how I learn, is to do things, like, a lot. I wouldn't say that things, I catch on to things really easily, but if it's something I want to learn how to do, I'll do it all day long for weeks and weeks until I get it. And so that's kind of the good thing about that situation, was I had just a consistent place to go. And I had Ashley to work with, and she is, like, a phenomenal athlete. We were, I mean, it was kind of like they would be afraid to try anything because we didn't want, like, she didn't want me to perform better than her, and I didn't want her to perform better than me. So they'd be like, do this. And where if I had been by myself, I would have been afraid. But because I knew she was going to try it, we kind of helped each other that way. Another really awesome thing out of it is that Reed, her brother, was there a lot. And so I got to meet him, and he's an amazing person, and he was very helpful. And so the whole experience was, a really, you know, good experience. I think I got a good groundwork to work from. And then when I started working the shows, that's where the training just kind of changes, where it becomes more like a trial and error. You bring yourself out and you have a match, and then you come back and you're like, okay, this is what I need to work on. But when I first originally started training, it was a really good experience.
How's Ashley Flair doing? Do you keep in contact with her? And did you ever get a chance to meet Ric Flair?
Yeah, actually, that's another crazy story about my training. I'll answer your first question first. I haven't really spoken to Ashley in a while, but it seems as if she's doing great. And I'm not surprised, because working with her and training with her, you could tell that she really had a lot of talent. I mean, she's very athletic, and she's one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life. Like, genuinely just a nice human being, as well as her brother Reed. And they both have a great personality. Reed is one of the funniest people I have ever met. Like, I don't think a lot of people know that about him, but really genuinely nice people. But I did get to meet Ric, which is kind of a crazy story. I had been trying to get trained for a while, so when I first went down, I was really excited. And so I get there, and I'm the first person to show up, and would have worked on walk-ups. Like, first time in the ring, well, not the first time in the ring. I had been in the ring to, like, practice taking bumps, and, of course, I had worked as a valet. But this was, like, my real first training. So we were working on walk-ups, and we worked on walk-ups, I don't know, for maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then Ric Flair walks in the door. And the very first day of training, and so because Ashley had just started training, and he wanted to make sure that she was, you know, I'm sure as her dad, he wanted to make sure she was getting certain things in the training. So I didn't overhear this conversation, but apparently the first time she went to training, which I think was like a week before I showed up, Ric had asked Lodi if it was okay if he to go for the training. And of course, it was like, yeah, that's totally fine. So actually, when Rick was there, he was training. So for, I mean, I think maybe 2 weeks, he actually trained me.
Wow.
And it was, you know, very, the basics, but you know, most people know the basics are the important part. So I would say, like, I had an opportunity, even though it was for a brief period of time, to learn a lot of things from, like, one of the best. And who lucks into that? Like, that's something that very rarely happens in life, that you luck into such a great opportunity. But, yeah, my first couple of weeks of training, actually, I got a lot of one-on-one. Well, Ashley and I, you know, got some one-on-one with Rick Flair. What was really crazy is there was, like, at one point, he, like, took me in a headlock. So I was standing there, he had me in a headlock, and he was, like, talking to everyone there, because we had a couple of guys that were training with us as well. And so he's standing in the ring with me in a headlock, just, like, talking about something. I don't know. I'm sure it was something relevant to a headlock. And all I can think is, oh, my God, Rick Flair has me in a headlock. Oh, my God, Rick Flair has me. I don't know what he said, because I was thinking the whole time, like, I'm standing here in a wrestling ring, and Rick Flair has me in a headlock. So it was kind of a surreal thing, but I will have to say that every moment that I spent with any person in his family was amazing. That they were, all of them were amazing. One little story I like to tell is the very first day we were working on, I think it was just like front rolls, and he said something to me, and I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, the name's Rick. R-I-C. Rick. And I thought that was really funny, because it was like, I know he was just telling me I don't have to call him sir, but to me it's funny that he introduced himself like everybody in the world doesn't know who he is.
I'm Ric Flair.
Exactly. He's like, my name is Rick. R-I-C.
And knowing Ric Flair, I'm surprised he didn't hit you up for your phone number or something.
Well, he did say I was cute one day.
There's a shocker, huh?
No, it was nothing but professional. It really was a great experience. And I can't really, you know, I think I got to spend more time actually with the Reed than anyone, because Ashley was getting ready to move. She already had her contract. So, you know, Ashley was there as much as she could be. But Reed and I are actually booked on a lot of the same shows after that. So I would see him, and he was very helpful because he knew I was new. And that was one of the things I was told, like, if you have a problem, you know, anything, just find Reed and ask him. And so I did. And so I felt really lucky to have met all of them. It was nothing but positive.
How did you hear about Reed's passing, and what was your reaction to that?
I think my reaction was the same as a lot of my friends, and they had known him a lot longer than I had, but I felt like, you know, I had an opportunity to have my experiences with him as well. It was really sad. I mean, it was really sad, because if you ever got to know him, you would be surprised at what a genuinely good soul, you know, like, he's just so nice and funny. Like, I went on a road trip with him once, and I still bring up things that he said. He had just a great comedic, like, a witty personality. And I know that he had been in Japan, and he had been talking to a friend of mine who was also in Japan, and he was doing really well. And so everyone had, like, you know, really high hopes. And so it kind of came out of the blue, and I know a lot of us were very, you know, upset by it. And it's kind of sad that, no, you know, like, we, as people who are friends with him, got to see what a good person he was, and not just that he was, like, Ric Flair's son, you know? And so we got to see past, like, mistakes that some people on the internet, like that would be all that they know of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of sad that it didn't get... that everyone didn't get to see that side.
Right.
And so, because sometimes you read about something that happens to someone, and you think that's all that person was. And that's just not true.
Yeah, that's really sad. Obviously, I never met Reed, but, you know, Ric Flair has been a legend in this business. We all know Ric Flair. So even though you don't really know these people, you kind of connect with them, but you just, like, you're growing up watching Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that he's gone through this with his son, that's just, That's really sad. I mean, no parent should have to bury their child. And that's just, it's hard to relate to that because I can't even really imagine the pain that you go through with something like that.
Yeah.
But it's great that you had an opportunity to meet him and work with him. And I'm glad to hear that he was a good guy and that he was very helpful to you.
Oh, it's extremely. And that's the sad thing. It's how do you, it's just, you know, sad that it's going to be most of the people's recollection. Like when I say his name, they're going to say, you know, what had happened for him
right.
to pass away. But there's just a whole lot more to him than that. I mean, he was just a really good person, and it did deeply affect people that were friends with him, and they, you know, were very sad about it, because not because he was Ric Flair's son or not because of the lost opportunity for him because he was so young, not even because of that, just because he was just a genuinely good person. He really
right.
was. And I definitely count that as a positive in my life that I was able to meet him at the time that I did, because I, you know, you don't realize that sometimes people only have, you know, I didn't know when I met him. He only had like a year, you know what I mean? So,
right.
It kind of teaches you to appreciate people no matter, even if they're just casual friends, if they're good people, appreciate them.
Yeah, that's the big mystery in life. You know, you tell your friends you love them, that you cherish them, because tomorrow you don't know if they're going to be there. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to go back quickly to Lodi, because I know Lodi still wrestles in the Carolinas, and that's where you wrestle in the Carolinas. Do you work with him on different shows independently?
No, actually, I don't. We are very rarely ever booked on the same shows.
Okay, because I know he's reunited with Sick Boy from WCW days, so.
Yeah, I think they have, like, worked WrestleForce a couple of times that I've been down there, but no, we don't ever have any, like, programs that overlap or anything like that, and very rarely are we on the same shows together.
Now, obviously, you are very fit, you're muscular, so with your body type, does it, I don't know, behoove promoters, or do they encourage you maybe to wrestle men more than women?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't think wrestling a man would be an upgrade at all. So it's not like I have muscles and I'm strong, now I'm going to step up my game and wrestle men. No, I still need to get a lot better. And I am still challenging myself against the great women who are in independent wrestling. And I may, you know, I'm strong, but I'm also petite. Like, I think people are pretty surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty short. Like, I'm a 5'2", 5'3". And there are a lot of women out there that are ridiculously strong. Like, so, to me, like, I know it's an easy thing to say, like, you're strong and you can wrestle men. No, I'm still challenging myself against so many great women. I feel like that kind of, like, acts like I'm in, like, B League. And if I were to wrestle men, it would be stepping up to A League. And I don't feel like that's the case at all. I have. That being said, I have wrestled, I think, one man, and that was a mixed tag on National Pro Wrestling Day for Resistance Pro, where Jay Bradley and I had a tag match against Ego and Thunder Kitty. And in that regard, like, someone like him, if it made sense, then yes. But in general, I'm not going to take a booking wrestling a guy, because I'm a women's wrestler, and I feel like they offer me enough competition, and I don't feel like I'm a Resistance Pro Women's Champion, and that is exactly the same level as Men's Champion. I'm not like the second champion. I'm not like the not as good champion. We're on the same level. I'm the women's, he's the men's. So for me, there are plenty of strong women out there with talents that I can challenge myself against. Does that make sense?
Let's talk about some of your common opponents, and obviously these are going to be women that our readers, listeners to GirlWick.net would know. I know you've wrestled Kong, was one of the opponents you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Mary Dobson, who of course works independently in the Midwest, and just recently got back from a tour of Japan and Europe. And I know you just said you worked with Mickey Knuckles, who's
mm-hmm.
kind of a hardcore. Style legend in women's wrestling. Who are some of the other common opponents maybe may know?
Well, those, the ones that you named are the ones that I wrestle usually when I'm working for Resistance. Those are girls that are up there a lot. Thunder Kitty won, who I had some matches against them. And this, but other than Resistance, I'm usually working around the South. And Down here, I wrestle a chick named Alexis Parrish. I wrestle her a lot. Okay. She's pretty close to me. And then Mia Simpson is a girl that I get to have some matches against in the Fayetteville area of North Carolina. And Pandora is another girl I wrestle. She's based out of Georgia. And there's a new girl, well, and say that she's really new, but she's just this year, I think, popped on the scene, a girl named Amanda Rodriguez, who I get to wrestle a lot because she's based out of Charlotte. I will say one of my favorite people to wrestle, and I haven't had a chance to in a while, is Sassy Stephanie. Love her, and I got to work with her in Pittsburgh a few times, and I just had to make my way back up there in a little bit. But we're always up for another match because we really enjoy wrestling each other. And I'm trying to think. I have to say, someone I've never had a match with, I know this wasn't the question, but I have a feeling that it might come up later, and I'll go ahead and tell you now. Someone who I haven't had a match with yet and I'd really love to work with is Barbie Hayden, who is based in Texas. And I just think that she is beautiful and talented, and I would love to have a match with her because the only thing is we have, like, the same moveset, kind of, but because we're similar. And I think that's part of the reason why I really like to work with her. She's got a great personality, and I would just like to see what we could do in the ring together if we had an opportunity to work.
Yep, and we've interviewed her, too. So, Barbie, if you guys are listening, do you want to hook that match up? Any promoters in Texas want to bring you in?
I'm sure you'd be willing. I'm telling you, it will be worth their money because, you know, I'm just saying – We would tear down the house. We could main event it.
Now, I heard in one interview you were talking about a dream opponent, somebody that you've never worked with that would be like the pinnacle probably of your career so far would be working Beth Phoenix. And obviously, when you talk about Beth Phoenix, another strong woman.
I love her. Like, I have an unhealthy love, like, worship type situation with Beth Phoenix. One of the best gifts anyone ever got me were tickets for me to watch her very last match because I am crazy about her. There's so many reasons. First of all, I think it's because she's muscular.
Yep.
And just she's just a good role model for a female to have because she's strong and just amazingly talented.
Have you ever met her?
Have I met? Actually, I have met her one time.
Okay.
I just she happened to be somewhere where I was, and I for about 20 minutes tried to decide whether or not I was going to, you know, tell her that I was a fan, and I was like, okay, I may never have a chance to see her again. I'm going to go tell her. And so I did. I'm pretty sure I rambled for about 45 minutes and made myself look like a big idiot, but I did get to meet her. I think you're so great. I like your muscles. You're not as tall as I thought you would be, but I think you're amazing, and I wrestle, and I want to be like you. I mean, that was really, really embarrassing, but I think it's a meter.
I'm sure she probably gets that a lot.
I don't know, but I will tell you one thing. She was not wearing makeup, and she is drop-dead gorgeous. Like, drop-dead, no makeup. She wasn't all – she was just, like, regular person, no makeup, hair pulled back, beautiful. And very nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd like to. That would be a great match. So I was going to say.
Well, the thing is, I wouldn't want her to lose. That's how much I like her.
I tell you, you know, you getting in independent wrestling, because obviously independent promoters, they run shows in different areas, and sometimes they bring in legends and they bring in, you know, people we've not seen in a long time. So. You talked about you have already met Ric Flair and obviously worked with Lodi. Is there anybody else that maybe you come across on the independent circuit? He's like, oh, cause I know like in the Carolinas, the Rock and Roll Express still wrestle a lot down there.
Yeah, I think it's one of the crazy things about, I think, working in the Carolinas is Ricky Morton is just around, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the very fortunate things that we have as people who work in this area is you never forget he's a legend. It's not that you forget he's a legend, but it's, you know, it's not the, oh, my God. And he's always there to give you feedback, that's for sure. Like, the last time I wrestled, he actually, you know, took some time to tell me some things that he noticed in my match. I didn't even have to ask him. And you know, a lot of time when there is a legend on your show, you do go and you say, if you have a chance, could you watch my match and give me some feedback? And that's really, like I told you, after your initial training, that's a great way to learn. And so, yeah, that's a person who, you know, everyone around here just, you know, you don't take it for granted, but it's just a great thing because it just happens a lot. Ricky Morton will be on the show. It's not like, oh my gosh, Ricky Morton's going to be on the show. It's, there he is. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that
makes sense. Yeah, because he's everywhere in the Carolinas, it seems like. Always popping up on different shows. And
you know what's really crazy? And this is when I kind of first started. The Rock and Roll Express was booked at Resistance. And there are two other wrestlers who wrestle in this area. John Skyler and Stephen Walters were there. And they, like, actually know him because they had been wrestling already. And he was like, what are you guys doing up here? It's really funny. I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but...
I wanted to ask you, because, like, if you were ever to make it to the big stage, if you ever made it to TNA or WWE, and they said, okay, Darcy, we're going to bring you to television, would you want to be Darcy Dixon on television? Or is there something that, if they say, okay, Darcy, what separates you from the other girls? What makes you special? What would you tell them?
You know, that is a really good question, and this could be a practice for me.
Yeah, because, you know, there's just so many different women out there. There's so many men wrestlers, too, but there's got to be something that will get you noticed, and they say, okay, you know, what makes you different than the next wrestler next to you?
You know, I would like to think that part of what would make me different is my personality. Like, I feel like I'm still learning how to show it in wrestling because that's one of the hardest things. But I feel like I would hope that if I ever got a chance to be on the big stage, I would like to be more of a talker, not more of a talker than a wrestler, but I would love to be like the total package. And that would be one of my goals. But also I think maybe my strength would set me apart. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that other girls aren't strong, but I think the fact that I'm tiny and strong would kind of be a thing that would be pushed, and that's something that Resistance actually allows me and to capitalize on, because a lot of places that you wrestle, if you're small, there's a certain thing that you don't do because you're small, whether you can or you can't. So I feel like up at Resistance, if I want to powerbomb Mickey Knuckles and I have a chance to powerbomb Mickey Knuckles, I powerbomb Mickey Knuckles. Whereas other places, they'd be like, oh, well, you're small. So I would love to be like a tiny powerhouse. Because, I mean, you've seen the big powerhouses. They've been there.
Yep.
But I would like to be like a tiny person.
You know, when we talk about powerhouses, what came to mind was China when she was in WWF. I think what really hurt her career is when they put her with the men. Because once you kind of go with the men, working against the men in your gender matches, it's hard to go back to the women matches because you've already beaten men.
Yeah, I mean, so. And that's why I said earlier, it to me, I don't think that's an upgrade. I don't think you're saying, oh, well, you're so strong and you're so good, you can wrestle with a man. That's not the case.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
There are plenty of other women out there that are strong, and I don't, you know, I would like to, being compared to them is an honor. Like, I want to wrestle women. I want to be a good women's wrestler, and I feel like women's wrestling is just as good. You know, we have some really tough ladies out there.
What's the perception when you go wrestle independently and you go out, work shows? What do, just in general, wrestling fans, what do they want from the women? Do they want the women to be athletic in the ring? Or are they kind of looking for women as eye candy, something that's different from, you know, watching the guys wrestle? We can see some pretty women mix it up. Or just kind of in general, what do you think?
I think that there are lots of different types of wrestlers. There are lots of different types of male wrestlers. There are lots of different mm-hmm. types of female wrestlers. I think that saying that the women wrestlers are eye candy, there are a lot of women that want to look at the men, too. The men are just as naked as we are. And men, too. Let's just not.
Sometimes more naked than the women.
Exactly. Exactly. So I feel like one of the ultimate things, and I feel like that this is common with a lot of the women that I wrestle with who actually enjoy the sport of wrestling and want to be good wrestlers and are working on their technique and trying to get better. I think it's so great when you come out in front of a crowd and the first thing that they do is like whistle at you or, you know, shout out something about how you look or something. And then through your wrestling, you know, after they start watching you wrestle, that they lose themselves in your match. And then, so it's kind of like, one of the best things is like, did you hear how they reacted to us when we first came out? They were just yelling at us about, you know, like our butt or whatever. But then if you can actually have a match or impress them with what you're doing and you can hear them react for your wrestling, then I feel like, you know, that's one of the best things that you can do is actually change someone's mind, if that makes sense. So if you were in front of a crowd and there were a bunch of people who only were there, like weren't expecting much from you, but you give them more and you can hear that, they change, that's pretty awesome. But I feel like there are a lot of fans out there who really just want to watch us wrestle. There are fans out there that could care less about our talent and only want to see how we look. But I think that's why there's not only one flavor of wrestler. I could wrestle in front of a crowd that only wanted to see half-naked women, and maybe I could get a few of them to change their mind and be like, wow, she can really wrestle, or possibly that's not my crowd, you know? It's what I feel like, you know, even if the most popular kind of wrestler is not, like, is the girl who has, like, big breasts and is half naked and everybody wants to see how they look and that's what they care about, even if that's the most popular, that there's still an audience, excuse me, for the girls who just really their main focus is having good matches and being a good wrestler. And for me, that's really my focus. Like, if someone says, hey, you're pretty, or I like the way you look, or you're sexy, you're hot, or whatever, that's great. I mean, everybody likes to get the compliments based on that. But that's not at all why I'm doing it. I just really like the sport, and I want to be good at it.
So if a promoter says, let's do a bikini competition, you'd say, you know, yeah, I want to wrestle, right?
Yeah, well, I will say, like, that's kind of how I got my foot in the door. When I first started working for Resistance, I wore a bikini out, and I posed around, and I was a manager. And that's how I got my foot in the door. And then there was definitely some, like, storylines where I was like, really? Like, I have to be this overt, you know? But I told, like, everyone, like, even my friends, I said, I'll do it now, but I'm going to prove to them that I'm more. And it was one of the things I'm most proud of, if I ever make it, is that I was actually able to do that. I was able to, at Resistance, which is a pretty big show, go from being the bimbo in the bikini to the women's champion, and I never, ever now, have to be overtly sexual or say anything inappropriate, or because they've, and not that there's anything wrong with the bikini girls, because, I mean, that's perfectly fine if that's what you want to do, but that wasn't my goal. So I feel like one of the best things and one of the things I'm most proud of is I was able to do that. I kept telling everyone, like, I don't know, I'm not going to be the bimbo in a bikini long. You wait, I'll get trained and I'll, you know, be more respectable. And that's one of the reasons why I like Beth Phoenix so much. And she was my idol. Is I don't ever remember a time where she had to do that because she was always respected for her abilities. And, so yeah, I definitely did it in the beginning because I wanted to be a part of wrestling, and I don't see a problem with it at all. But it's not what my ultimate goal was. And but I will say, like, locally, there was a show I did with Melissa Coates, and we were supposed to do, like, a bikini pose off because we're both kind of muscular. Or mm-hmm. She's very muscular. I don't really ever say I'm very muscular. But we did a little pose.
She's a bodybuilder, so Yeah.
They wanted us to do a pose down, and I called the promoter, and I was like, you know, really, you know, that's not, you know, I don't really do stuff like that. You know, it's not really my thing. And he was like, oh, well, this is what we were planning. And the whole plan was that, you know, she was very serious about it, and me, as a wrestler, took it as a joke. And, you know, I was very like, ha, 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 I don't care about this. You know, I just want to wrestle type of thing. So in that case, like, I felt like that brought the real Darcy, the real, like, me into it. And so it made sense. But I don't feel like what I try to portray as a wrestler is look at my body, look at my body, look at my body. It's more like my body is a tool to help me wrestle. It's not necessarily for you to look at. It's I'm trying to be strong so I can win my matches.
I think that's good that you wanted to be a wrestler. There are girls that get into wrestling, they just want to be a valet. They just want to be, they just want to look good on the camera. Because I remember, going back to WCW days, there was that movement to have more valets. You know, they had, like, Major Guns and Stacy Keibler go, Tori Wilson walk down to the ring with their guys. So it's good that you have a good look and you're very pretty, but you also wanted to get in the ring and actually train and become a professional.
Wanted to so bad. Like, my training was, like, anytime, even now, I can get in the ring and train. It's the in my matches, too, of course. But I wanted it so badly that, and I still do. I still feel like I have so far to go, like, to be better. And I still beat myself up over, not being better yet. But, it was the first edition of the show that I was on. They did I don't remember exactly how many women were in the match, but I know there was one man who was dressed as a woman. And they did like I don't remember what they called it, but they were all wrestling for the belt. And so they had like 8 or 9 or 10, I don't even remember, but lots of wrestlers, female wrestlers were on that show. And I was so jealous of them. Like, I can remember how, like, it was burning inside of me. Like, I don't want to go out and just ballet. I want to wrestle, too. So I remember that now. Like, my very first show, I was so jealous of the other female wrestlers. And now, like, sometimes I have a little moment. I don't really pat myself on the back, but I have a moment when I go to the shows now and I am the champion. Because that was 2 years ago. And it was just a burning desire within me. Like, I want to be in the ring, too. Like, I want to be part of the girls vying for the belt. I don't want to just be talking on the mic in a bikini. I want to pick you up and slam you.
Can you talk about your training, your diet, and how you stay in such great shape?
I can. Actually, I don't know if you want me to start talking about that, because you're going to have to make me shut up.
Well, I mean, just like your basic schedule and what do you eat to stay in such great shape?
I lift weights every day. Sometimes I will take a Sunday off, and I do cardio every day. So, like, I have and it's not always the same. Like, every now and then, like, I will add more. It kind of just depends on how I feel about my body at that time. But I do about an hour of weight training in the morning, and then I'll go back and do 30 minutes to an hour of cardio in the evening, and that's always could be something different. But I feel like, I don't know if you've seen some of my pictures, I wear a tiny little outfit to wrestle in. So I feel like I have to stay on top of it every day, because not only that, it's part of my gimmick. I'm the girl who is in good shape, so I can't let myself go for a week and then have a match. It kind of is one of the responsibilities, like, I put on myself, like, you have to go today. And as far as eating goes, I have a pretty clean diet. That being said, I don't make it too overly complicated. I just try to have, like, lean protein and not eat all the stuff that everybody knows is bad for them. Like, everybody knows donuts are bad for you, right?
Oh, man.
And then, I have, like, usually on Sundays I have a cheat day where I just eat whatever I want and get it out of my system. And then I go back at it on Monday. And fortunately, I have someone that I work out with who has the same goals as far as fitness goes to keep me on track. And we eat the same kind of food, and we do it together. And if we cheat, we do it together. So it kind of, it's not as hard when you have a friend to do it with. But it's also not hard to do when you have to get in your tiny little outfit.
Yeah, I didn't realize until I was looking through some of your pictures, you actually have some of those bikini pictures up there. So
yeah, I do.
Wow.
Those are when I very first started.
Those look amazing.
Thank you.
That's a great outfit, and that's a great body. So.
Yeah, well, see, I actually, before I started wrestling, I actually did compete in figure competitions.
Okay.
But they're not really my cup of tea. Like, I might go back to do those at some point. But right now, I feel like, wrestling is a big enough of a challenge for me, and I have probably never will, but I definitely haven't conquered it yet. I don't think it can be like conquered. So I'm just, as long as I'm wrestling, that's really all I have time for.
What's the story with the tattoo on the thigh?
Oh, that's not really, there's no story to that. Have you been 18? Have you ever been 18? I'm assuming that if you're over 18, you've been 18 and you've done something stupid.
Yeah, a few years ago.
That was my stupid thing I did when I was 18.
And
I will at some point like either have it lasered off or turned into something different. But that was just something when my freshman year in college, I was like, I want a tattoo. And I went and got a dumb tattoo. So that's the story behind that.
So probably now you wish you would have put it on your butt or something where people don't see it.
No, you know, it doesn't bother me that it's there. I mean, like, I'm not embarrassed of it. It's just not, I mean, there's no story behind it.
Okay. Because, you know, when you look at your pictures, it sticks out. It's kind of overt, you know, when you're looking through.
I mean, it doesn't bother me. It's just, like, it's not something, like, I have a message behind or that there's some,
okay.
Like, it's just a dumb tattoo I got.
I mean, what is it, and why did you get it?
It's like a small tiger face.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, it's really dumb, but I used to really like tigers because of the Eye of the Tiger Rocky song. Because that will get me pumped up. I really enjoy Rocky.
Yeah.
And that is like from when I was little watching Rocky, I really enjoyed the Eye of the Tiger song. And so there was, you know, like, that was like a little mantra I had when I was running or playing sports in high school. So that's why. Now I'm not dealing with tigers.
That's a great motivational song. It really pumps you up.
It is. I wouldn't suggest getting a tattoo of your favorite song. It might not be your favorite song in very much longer. But, yeah, so it was one of those things that at the time I was into, and now not so much.
Going back to your training and how you got started, I always like to ask this. What was your reaction to your parents, your family, your friends when you told them, I think I'm going to give this pro wrestling thing a try?
Well, fortunately, I had, you know, I really feel like sometimes in life, all you really need is one, like, person. I don't even think you might even need that person, but if you have one person who supports you and you can talk to about it and doesn't think you're crazy, then that kind of really is all you need. And I definitely had a very supportive friend, and that was kind of enough. Everyone else thought I was crazy, but I never really asked them. You know, when it's something that you really want to do, like, you don't go through your life asking permission, because that's like asking them permission to be miserable. Because if you don't do what you want to do because somebody else thinks it's a dumb idea, that's kind of, you deserve
to
not be happy.
I ask this to, like, a lot of people, and sometimes the reaction is, well, you know, my parents thought I was crazy. Or sometimes it's, oh, you know, my dad was very supportive, or my mom was very supportive. They come to my matches. So it's like, like two extremes, it seems like. So.
No, I would say, like, if we're talking about, like, straight family, my dad is supportive. He doesn't really get it, like, exactly. But, like, he probably tells everyone that I'm, like, the WWE women's champion because he exaggerates. So if you ever talk to my dad, just don't listen to him. I feel like, I think, like, I'm pretty sure he tells people that because he exaggerates. But he really is supportive and thinks it's cool. My mom actually makes my gear for me. So I can't really say that he's not supportive. Well, it's a collaboration. We kind of both make my gear, but so I can't really say she's not supportive because she, you know, she does actually do something to help me with it. But at the same time, I think she doesn't understand it at all. Like, I'll tell her, you know, I want to branch out more. There are other promotions out there I really want to work for. Right now, I'd really like to work for WSU. And I'm trying to get them to book me because they have some great talent on that show, and I love their product. So when I tell her, you know, I want to work for the show, her first answer would be like, where is that? And I'm like, I think New Jersey. She's like, you're going to go to, you know, like, she doesn't get it so much. It's like the average person who's like, where, you're going to go to Chicago today and you're going to be back Monday? Because normal people don't go on trips like that. And so my mom is still kind of like that. She's like, aren't you tired from going to Chicago? And why would you want to add another So she's supportive, but she doesn't get it, if that makes sense at all. And,
sure.
You know, I'll, of course, wrestling, I'm a very, I don't know what the word is, but I obsess. Like, anybody that really knows me will be like, okay, you've talked about this enough, like, let's change the topic, because I obsess over things. Fitness is one of the things I obsess over, and that kind of just worked out for me. But, like, anytime I talk to my mom or anyone generally, it will be about wrestling. So she's gotten, like, her, like, of the last time I had a conversation with her, I think I talked for, like, 30 straight minutes. And then at the end, she goes, well, I hope it works out for you. Like, that was her reply. So it's like, you know, they want me to do well. They always, like, if they'll listen to this interview, they watch my matches, and even if they don't exactly understand why I want to do it or why I'm putting myself through what I go through, instead of just, you know, having a regular job like a normal person does, regardless of that, I think I've let them know that they can't talk me out of it, so they don't even try.
So they may be listening to this interview, so I want to say hi to them if they're listening. That's
they
great.
Probably will be. So I'm like, cool. I hope I didn't say anything bad. No, I didn't. I think I'm good.
I think you're good. I want to say hi to Mama Dixon and Daddy Dixon, too.
Okay. I'm sure they'll really appreciate that.
I don't know. I've done a lot of interviews, and I don't know if anybody's ever said, you know, my parents listened to that interview.
They will totally. Like, not only that, like, when I was in school, every basketball game, every track meet, you know how boring track meets are?
Yeah.
Really boring. They were there.
Yeah.
So I could probably be playing chess, and they would show up to cheer for it. But
awesome.
But that still doesn't mean that they actually like it, but they're just going to, I think that's just something that might be important to them.
That's cool. I know you're very, you know, early in your career, but what do you feel like has been your best match so far? Which one kind of really clicked and everything went well, and somebody gave you rave reviews for it?
I'm not really sure which of the matches with Mickey Knuckles I would choose. I think that we've had two really good matches. You probably have not seen the most recent one, because I haven't yet. But I'll actually send you a link as soon as it comes out. I'll tell you a little bit about that. The first match I had with her went really well, actually, got a concussion very early in the match. But it was, up until that point, it was my best match. And I still might choose it as my best match, but apparently there's something about Mickey Knuckles, because this past week when we wrestled, you know, Billy, I have to tell you his feedback, because, you know, I haven't seen it myself yet. I was there, but I haven't seen it. Billy Corgan, who is our creative director, and he spends a lot of time with me helping, you know, because he has a vision, he's an artist. After he said it was the best women's match that they've had up there yet, and that's including the previous one that we had. So I kind of am thinking maybe it was, but I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But it would definitely, if I had to choose the best match, it would definitely by far be one of the ones with Mickey.
That's awesome. That's great praise, too. That's a high compliment.
Yeah, they've had a lot of really, you know, I can think of a lot of great matches they've had up there that I wasn't even involved in. So I really felt good about him saying that, because he also doesn't lie. You know, if something sucks, he'll tell me. So I felt good about that.
Can you talk a little bit about Billy? Because obviously most of us know him as a rock star with the Smashing Pumpkins, but of course he's involved in wrestling now, and obviously he has a love for wrestling. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing and spending money on it. Talk about your relationship with Billy and his passion for professional wrestling.
Well, I would have to say, Billy gave me my first opportunity in wrestling ever. Billy was the one that decided to bring me up to Resistance, and Resistance was my very first show. I feel like Billy being an outsider in wrestling was a benefit to me, because he wanted to help me as another outsider. He saw that I had a passion for wrestling. He had a passion for wrestling. He's an outsider. I'm an outsider. He opened a door for me. And being a wrestler now, I can see more why those doors are shut a lot for people. You know what I'm saying? You want to make sure that the people you bring in really have a passion for the sport and they're going to add to it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I feel like Billy gave me my first opportunity. So I personally just wouldn't, him and I, like, I feel very appreciative of that. I think as far as wrestling goes, it's good to have someone who is a little more, it's funny to say that he's mainstream because his music was supposed to be alternative, but you know what I mean. A person who isn't really involved in wrestling speaks about wrestling to people who would never ask. Like, I see him on, like, CNN or doing interviews, and people will be like, why wrestling? Why, you are already successful, why do you have the love for wrestling? And just his answers to those questions do nothing but elevate wrestling in a way. You know, he just speaks about his love for it and how he feels like it's a pure art form and how it's like Shakespearean plays and why he loves it. And I feel like that has, like, helped other people see that it's not, that there is something to enjoy about it, if that makes sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just allows people who normally maybe wouldn't hear anything about wrestling to hear about wrestling in a positive light.
You didn't ask him if he was going to buy a TNA, did you?
Well, if I did ask him that and he answered that, that would probably be a secret between he and I.
Probably, yeah. Well, I had to ask because, you know, that was always the rumor, you know, in recent weeks that Billy was interested. I guess a separate question would be, not based on anything you've discussed or anything, how do you think Billy would do as an owner of TNA if he were to be interested in it?
I feel like the best way to answer that question would just be to look at the other things that he has been involved in and the success that he's had with them.
Sure.
Obviously, and from, well, I say it's obvious, but I kind of think it is obvious, but if it isn't, I'm sorry. If he gets involved, like, it's the things that you've seen that he's been involved with, music, for example. It's all consuming for him, and he works really hard, and he's made a success of it. So I would think, going on his track record of being a successful person, that you would assume that he would bring that success over into other areas. So I think if you were going to bet on a horse in the race, it wouldn't be, you know, a bad bet to put your money on him. But then again, you never know. I was going to say, personally, myself, I would think that he would do excellent, but, you know, that's something you just have to see.
Speaking with, you know, TNA, WWE, do you get a chance to watch those products and just your overall opinion on, you know, the storylines and maybe some of the knockouts and divas they currently use on television?
You know, I have nothing but positive, you know, things to say about, you know, of course, there are ones that I really am enjoying AJ right now. I love Natalia. I think the Bella Twins are actually doing pretty well. I do enjoy watching. I watch WWE very consistently and enjoy watching the Divas wrestle.
Do you watch the Total Divas show?
I don't really watch that very much. And it's not because I don't want to be supportive. I definitely want to support all things wrestling, especially women's wrestling. It's just, for me, my enjoyment is the actual wrestling.
Sure.
So that's what my busy schedule and, like, limited time to actually sit down and be in front of the TV watching. I like to watch Raw or SmackDown. But anything about
TNA?
You know, I've always been really impressed with the quality of wrestling on that show, usually. Like I said, I don't watch it as much. But I have a lot of respect to any girl, like, regardless of the background or their, you know, ring ability or how they did that particular night in the ring on the show. I have, like, nothing but a lot of respect to any female or male, for that matter, who's made it to that level. You know, it's like, I'm not going to be someone to watch and pick out everything wrong, because that's where I want to be. And so it's kind of like a treat people how you want to be treated type of thing. For me, individually, it's like, I want to watch and enjoy it for the sport and learn from it. I don't want to watch just the critique and say, I could do better. I can't believe they do this. When I watch, I kind of want to be a fan. I want to enjoy it for what it's meant to be, which is entertainment.
Now, I know you're very, you know, early in your career, but have you either sent a video promos to WWE or TNA? Have you reached out to them, or early on, have they ever reached out to you, like maybe for a tryout or a look-see a little bit?
You know, I've had a little bit of contact, but, you know, until I am there or until somebody has, gets, you know, like I'm not going to say it almost, or maybe like, it's definitely something I would love to happen, but it has not happened yet. But
maybe have Ashley put in a good word for you down in NXT.
I know, right? Ashley is doing amazing. I'm really proud of her. But that being said, I feel like the opportunities that I have in front of me are great. Like, I haven't even been wrestling for 2 years yet, and I can say that I'm Resistance Pro Women's Champion. And, you know, I get to work a lot of great girls, and I'm learning. So I definitely don't feel like, oh, no, I haven't made it yet. I feel like, for me, I have done more than I expected to do in this period of time.
I would agree.
And I want to, like, there's more I want to do. There's definitely more shows that I want to be on. I'd like to be on Shimmer. I'd like to be on Shine. I'd like to just go to different parts of the country. Like I said, I want to wrestle Barbie. There are so many things, like, just ahead of me within my grasp that I want to accomplish. So I definitely don't feel like, you know, I'm not achieving. I'm not where I want to be. I'm where I want to be. It's just, you know, I want to end up somewhere also.
If you could critique yourself, obviously, like I said, you're, you know, 2 years in the business, but what would you consider at this point your strongest strength, and what do you think is your biggest weakness to date?
I would have to say, and this may sound like a cheesy answer, but I think my strength is just honestly my desire to get better. Because I feel like sometimes there's a point where some people might just be happy with where they are. And like I could say, you know, I'm the champion here and I've had a couple of good matches. I don't need to keep working. But for me, I look at every match as an opportunity to get better. Like even when I mess up or something doesn't go well, I'm like, okay, well, I made that mistake. Now I know. So this is a learning experience. I think my weakness would be just, I know exactly what it is. I'm just trying to think of a way to put it into words.
Inexperience at this point?
No, I wouldn't say it's inexperience, although it's probably a part of inexperience. It's just, I think maybe, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. Maybe telling a story and connecting with the crowd is what I would like to get better at. You know, I can work on moves. I can work on being a better wrestler and get better at that easily. Well, it's not easy, but you can work on becoming a better wrestler yourself, and that's just you. And, of course, the other person in the ring. But your connection with the audience is kind of like an X factor that can't be explained. Mm-hmm. So I really want to, as a wrestler, make the experience for the crowd better, like make them emotionally invested in me through what I do in the ring, if that means. So I would say like those things, like the really great people can do, that I'm not there yet. And that's something that, is probably with inexperience. I think some people are naturals.
Mm-hmm.
But I want that. I want when people come watch me, I want them to feel like they're a part of it. Like I'm giving them a show. I don't want it to be about, oh, wow, she hit this move and that move was cool. I want it to be like they really wanted me to win or they really wanted me to lose, or, you know, that I gave them an experience.
Well, you've already achieved one goal, obviously. You went from basically being ring girl, bikini girl to, you know, in-ring wrestler. What are your ultimate goals in this business?
I always say, and it probably seems like a canned like response everybody says, but really for me, I swear this, I mean it with all my heart. I want to be as good at wrestling as I can possibly be. And I want whatever that door that opens for me, I want that. So I don't
That's a
know.
Good answer. That's a good answer. I like that.
Thank you. So I don't know if that means that I'll get a contract with one of the bigger companies. It might not. It might be that, but it would be great, even though, you know, you say, like, you don't really worry too much about your critics, but it would be great if at the end of it, when I'm not wrestling anymore, if, you know, I was just respected as a wrestler. Like, you know, maybe someone could put me in a conversation, be like, this girl, you know, if I can pick someone who deserved a chance that I can get it, maybe it would be her. So I know everything happens for a reason and things, doors open for you when they're meant to be. I don't know what's meant to happen for me with wrestling, but I just want to be as good at it as I can possibly be. And hopefully when people look at what I've done as a wrestler and they see me as a wrestler, that's something that every other female wrestler can be proud of. Like, that is what we do. What she's doing is what I do. I never want to do anything where someone would look at me as a female wrestler, like another female wrestler, and be like, no, that's not what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to bring, not that it doesn't already have respect, but I want to maybe build a little more and keep the respect that we do have as athletes.
I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but when I first came upon you and saw your pictures and saw some of your matches and listened to some of your interviews, you really came across to me as a very serious person, which is definitely a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the lighter side,
that's hysterical. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, no, like, you would do interviews and you were just very serious, which was good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I just wondered, what do you like to do on the lighter side? What, when you know, when you're not training and you're working really hard and you're not wrestling, what kind of makes you laugh? What do you like to do to kind of get away from things? And what's on the lighter side of Darcy Dixon?
Well, that's really funny because, like, I think I am serious about certain things. I'm serious about wrestling. I'm serious about working out, blah, blah. But, like, I really laugh all day long. Like, I really do. Like, I find humor in everything. I'm silly, and I think I'm funny, and I'm really not funny. I'm always trying to make jokes. I just think maybe, like I told you before, like, it's really hard to bring across in your wrestling character when you're trying to go out there and, like, kick somebody in the face. And you know, especially when you're a small person like me, I have to, you know, make you believe I'm really going to kick that person in the face. So it's hard to be the silly, the jovial person who is really serious about not getting killed by Mickey Knuckles. But I'm not at all. I mean, yeah, I'm serious about my diet. I'm serious about, you know, making it to the gym. But when I'm at the gym, I'm ridiculously silly. Like, I dance around in the middle of my sets, and I think I'm hilarious, and people roll their eyes at me, and I'm always saying dumb stuff. I'm always, like, falling down and laughing at myself. That's actually who I am. But, you know, I think it's just a little bit, it's harder to portray that. When you're talking about something as serious as professional wrestling, that made me laugh. But, like, I love comedies. I love listening to stand-up comedy. It's my favorite people are silly. I just also happen to like to lose weight.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Now, before we wrap up, go ahead and plug some of the upcoming shows you have where people can see you. Also, kind of mention, too, you know, you're new to the business, and obviously people that will maybe hear this interview are not familiar with some of your matches. Where can people go to find some of the matches you've already worked and check out some of your work?
Well, you can definitely, Resistance has a YouTube channel. It's Real Resistance Pro. That's how you can find it. And there, I think all of my matches with Resistance are on there, I think. But you can definitely check out my very favorite, and the one that I would like for you to watch would be my last title shot with Mickey Knuckles, which is I'm proud of that match. So you can definitely check those out. Of course, yeah, if you put in Darcy Dixon Wrestling, you can check out a lot of my matches. Some of them would be my very earliest. So you can see the progression or the progress that I've made. The next one I saw is this Sunday in Columbia, South Carolina for WrestleForce. I'm going to be, I believe, facing Amanda Rodriguez. On December 14th in Georgia, I will be facing Pandora, and we are going to have a dog collar match, and this is, we've been feuding for a while, so we definitely hate each other a lot, so that should be a really good one. January 4th, I believe it is, I'll be in Fayetteville, North Carolina, wrestling Mia Simpson. And then January 17th, I'll be back in Chicago defending my title once again for Distance Pro.
Awesome. And lastly, go ahead and plug, I know you're on social media because we're friends on social media, but go ahead and plug social media and where fans can get in contact with you and promoters as well.
Okay, you can definitely find me on Twitter, and my it's at @D_RC Dixon. And then you can find me on Facebook as well. And Darcy Dixon is D'.
Great. I encourage fans to do that and check out some of your matches online. And we've really enjoyed having you on. We'll definitely do this again sometime.
Okay, really awesome.
Enjoyed learning about you and your background and your career. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.